Welcome to a Thursday edition of Locked On Heat. On today's show, it's part two of our 15 Every 30 show. Part one posted yesterday where I was joined by Hoops Hype's Frank Urbina, and we talked about some stats that have jumped out so far from Josh Richardson, Goran Dragic, Ryan Magruder, and others. Today, we'll talk about Bam Adebayo, Hassan Whiteside, and Dwayne Wade, and wrap up the rest of the roster. Thank you so much for listening and for subscribing. Now let's get to the show.
You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, we're kicking off part two of our 15 Every 30. We did part one yesterday. Let's go ahead and get started with part two. And let's start with Justice Winslow. Frank, what has stuck out to you about Justice Winslow's season so far?
Well, he was coming off the injury, so he did get off to a bit of a slow start. But the one game that we all saw him where he started at point guard against the Hogs, that's a pretty weak opponent. He put up 15 points, 10 rebounds, 8 assists, and 2 blocks. And I looked it up, and he is actually one of just 6 players to have that stat line this season. The other 5, get a load of this. Giannis Antetokounmpo, Anthony Davis, LeBron James, Nikola Jokic, and Ben Simmons. So that's a pretty unique stat line, and it proves that. I mean, Winslow's still just 22 years old. People might see some frustration. I think he's a bit of a divisive player among Heat fans. I know the majority love him, but there's some who think he absolutely cannot play and he's been a disappointment. I think it's way too soon to give up on him. He's just such a unique talent, like a guy who can distribute, who can block shots, who can jump passing lanes for steals, who can run an offense. I think better days are ahead for Winslow, and that stat line just proves his potential, his vast potential.
I mean, the guys that you're naming, those are those point forward types, LeBron, Giannis, Ben Simmons. And look, Winslow, we've wondered what position he should be playing for the last 3 years, and I don't think that the Heat really have settled on a position for him. I know the Athletic, Shandell Richardson, recently talked to Justice Winslow and Eric Spoelstra about that exact topic and mentioned how and Spo in that piece actually said Winslow does better the more we give him the more we put on his plate. Basically, the more responsibilities you give him, he feels the more engaged he is, the better he plays. And he has, you know, you mentioned that Hawks game where he basically played point guard. Dragic wasn't in that game. And then the next, you know, 2 nights later, he's playing Detroit, and he's got a matchup against Blake Griffin, right? So now he goes from playing point guard to basically playing a true traditional power forward, or playing against a true traditional power forward who's much bigger than him in Blake Griffin. And he played well in both games, and the numbers do favor his on-off, the on-off metrics are favorable for Winslow. One thing that stuck out to me, and this is from Cleaning the Glass, only 44% of his makes have been assisted this season, including just 17% at the rim. That basically means he's creating a lot of looks for himself. And you look at his shooting percentages are basically down. I think he's at like 40% true shooting right now or something close to it, which is bad. That's just a bad true shooting percentage. But he's got to create so much for himself. And that's challenging for a 22-year-old player who doesn't really know what position he is. And I think if he were to get some more help from teammates, if a guy like Josh Richardson and Wade and Goran Dragic were able to help set him up a little bit more and put him in better positions, then I think you see those percentages go up. So to me, that's kind of what stands out to me. I'd like to see I would like to see him play a little bit more, not necessarily off the ball, but maybe just more as a secondary guy or getting more involved in screen and rolls. And maybe, you know, let's say you get Goran Dragic and Justice Winslow in a pick and roll. Well, Winslow sets the screen for Dragic, who's handling the ball. Winslow darts to the rim on the roll. Dragic gets him the ball, and then Winslow is then able to either kick out or finish at the rim himself. Very similar to what the Warriors do between Steph and Draymond Green or Durant and Draymond Green. I think Winslow could have a similar effect there. One interesting stat, I thought, Winslow leads the league in loose balls recovered at 3.3. per game.
Yeah, not surprising. I mean, that's his game, you know, full on effort and stuff. The issue with him is, if we're going to have a frank, quick little talk on Winslow, is his finishing around the rim. It's so bad, you know, like he doesn't have very good touch down there, which kind of kills his pick and roll man potential. And that's why he performs better when we see him be the ball handler with another guy setting a screen, and he likes passing to the corner for corner threes. If he could just become, I don't know, I mean, if Rodney Magruder can do it, why can't someone with Winslow's skill set? I mean, he's an athletic guy. He's so bulky. Like, he should have better touch down there. I would love to see him develop even like a similar floater to Magruder. It might not feel natural for him, but if he could just become an average finisher around the basket for someone relative to his size and to his potential, his efficiency overall would skyrocket.
What position do you think he is? Like, if you had to give him a position, because David and I debate this all the time.
It's tough, man. I mean, I see that Heat fans get super excited about, oh, point justice. He needs to be the point guard. And I don't think full-time that's what he should be doing. I think it would be a struggle for him to, like, finish, like I said, finish around the basket, like, off a screen and roll. His passing is really good, but, I mean, I don't know. It's tough. I think he's just a guy that you platoon all over the floor, and depending on the matchup, like we said before, that's where you have to play him on any given night. I think maybe he's not good enough or at a single role to really slot him into doing one thing. You just have to put him in different areas and see on different nights and see how he reacts or how he performs.
Where would you like to go after this?
We just did justice. I guess we can do a guy in a similar boat. Let's go Derrick Jones Jr. Granted, he hasn't had that much playing time this year, and he missed a couple of games. One for injury, and I think another one just Spo just didn't play him. He was just inactive, a DNP coach's decision. What I found interesting about Derrick Jones is that 93% of his minutes this year have come at power forward, which, I mean, when you see him, he looks like a typical wing, like a total small forward. And prior to the season, 70% of his career minutes came at small forward. But I'm guessing what the Heat see is, you know, this guy may not have the skill required to be on the wing full time. His ball handle isn't great, you know. When he puts the ball down for one or two dribbles and rises up for a dunk, no one's stopping him. And that's basically what you would want out of a power forward. Someone who hangs, if he's not spotting up for three, someone who hangs around by the basket. We saw him do it last night. He caught a ball, took one power dribble, went up and flew into the air and dunked it. So I think that he'd see him more of a difference maker as a power forward than as a small forward. And would you agree with that? That he's more of a maybe his best area or his best position right now would be as a stretch forward type who can finish around the basket really well.
I absolutely agree with you, and it's not, you know, it's not something that I thought of going into the season. That's why Spo is as good a coach as he is because he puts guys in great positions to be successful. I actually thought he was a two guard. But you're right, he doesn't have the ball handling skills. I thought he was like a catch-and-shoot two-guard best-case scenario, especially the way his threes were going in during Summer League. But I think Spo looks at him as maybe like, you know, in that stretch four in the same kind of mold of a Shane Battier or Rashard Lewis, maybe even kind of somewhere in between those two guys with maybe that the older athleticism of Rashard Lewis with some of that maybe defensive presence of a Shane Battier on the perimeter. I mean, best case scenario, obviously, Battier was amazing. But Derrick Jones Jr. leads the team in contested three-point attempts per 36 minutes. He is really good at getting out on the perimeter, getting over screens, and just contesting threes, which is a big deal in today's NBA. Now, if he's going to play the four full-time, he needs to get on that Big Mac diet. I think he needs to put on some weight for sure.
Absolutely.
But that'll come. I mean, hey, what's Dwayne Wade's new restaurant, 300 Degrees or something like that? Go there, have a bunch of grilled Brussels sprouts and have a few cheeseburgers and just, you know, have your lunch there every day. But I like what we've seen from Derrick Jones Jr. so far. It's just a matter for him of obviously getting the playing time, but I don't think there's any rush on the part of the Heat's coaching staff to get him that. Just play him every once in a while when you think he's a good fit. And I really think Derrick Jones Jr., his time is maybe next season for wherever he ends up. I think that'll be really when he starts to see the court a little bit more. Okay, so we did Derrick Jones Jr. Let's go to Hassan Whiteside. What do you have for Whiteside?
Well, he doesn't lead the league in rebounding this year in a per-game measure, but he does lead the league in total rebound rate and a defensive rebound rate, which means when he's on the floor, the percentage of rebounds he's grabbing that are available, he leads the league in both of those facets. So maybe Drummond's a guy that gets more credit because he pulls down 15 rebounds a game. He'll push Reggie Jackson and Glenn Robinson and Stanley Johnson out of the way to grab every single rebound. But I think Hassan Whiteside's doing it more efficiently in his playing time. So far, it's been surprising that he's been arguably, at least statistically, according to the advanced metrics, the best rebounder in the NBA. And another thing that I found interesting is that the Heat starters thus far this year haven't been the problem. It's been the bench because, like Dragic, Whiteside currently has the best swing rating of his career at a plus 6.1. His net rating, like basically what the team outscores opponents by when he's on the floor, is a plus 5.3 according to Basketball Reference. But basically what swing rating tells you is he have a negative net rating of negative 0.8 when he's off the floor. So overall, it gives him a plus 6.1 swing per 100 possessions when he's on the floor. He's been effective. I mean, there's been moments of frustration where he refuses to. I remember against the Blazers, Damian Lillard was pulling up from deep every single play and just dominating, and Whiteside would not take an extra step out there to contest. It was to the point that I was blaming Spoelstra, like, why is he on the floor right now? Like, Whiteside had a good game, but he needs to be out there contesting, or Lillard's going to shoot us out of the, or shoot Miami out of the game. But yeah, I think overall, I think he's been more impactful and more productive in his minutes this year than he was at least. Way more than last year, because last year was a bit of a disaster for him.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up the Damian Lillard thing, because yeah, you play a guy like Damian Lillard. When Miami's played Kemba Walker and the Hornets this year, it's also shown up. Look, over the last few years, Spo has tried to get Whiteside to show out on the perimeter to trap and blitz ball handlers when they're running through screens. And he just hasn't shown the ability to do it. And he just doesn't have the physical quickness and agility to do that effectively and then get back towards the rim and be an effective rim protector. And so Spo's basically just given up on it. And look, I don't blame him for doing it. Whiteside can't do it, so you play him in that drop coverage, basically. Let him patrol the paint and just let him do what he does best, which is get blocks and defend the rim, which he's doing at an extremely great level at an efficient level right now. I think he's like seventh or sixth or something like that in the league. I don't have the stat in front of me because it's not the stat that I pulled, but I think he's like seventh among centers who have guarded at least 5 field goal attempts per game in the paint as far as defensive field goal percentage goes. So he's doing it that's like Anthony Davis kind of zone there. So he's doing it at a great level. The one thing that I did pull out, though, which is a little bit of a concern, is that Miami, you know, the reason you drop Whiteside back into the pick and roll, in the pick and roll, you drop him back towards the rim is so that you can have the perimeter guys basically run guys off the 3-point line. That hasn't necessarily been working. You mentioned a guy like Damian Lillard who's able to just pull up from 30 feet. It doesn't really matter how many guys you have on him. He's going to pull up and make shots anyway. Opponents are attempting 18.8 3-point attempts with Whiteside on the floor versus 14.4 with Whiteside off of the floor. So they're getting a whole lot more attempts, and they're making a lot more of attempts. Opponents are making 38.7% of their threes with Whiteside on the floor versus 34.6% with Whiteside off the floor. And so in today's game, where the name of the game is 3-point shooting, Whiteside is not helping defensively in stopping that from happening for the Heat. And on the flip side, Bam Adebayo is, so let's just go right into Bam Adebayo here, because on the flip side of that, opponents are attempting 12.3 3-point attempts with Adebayo on the floor versus 18.8 with Adebayo off the floor, almost inverted, which makes sense because when Whiteside comes off, a lot of times Adebayo comes in. So Bam, and I talked about this, I don't remember on which podcast this week, but I talked about it on one of the podcasts where, you know, it was the Pistons recap. Adebayo, You kind of wish you had Hassan Whiteside versus Andre Drummond, especially at the end of regulation when Drummond got those two offensive rebounds and putbacks to send the game into overtime. But the thing and that's a very visual thing, and that's when you just so clearly miss a guy like Whiteside and what he can do from a rebounding perspective. But the less visible things that Adebayo brings to the table are so valuable because he is doing those things where he's able to get out onto the perimeter, trap ball handlers, limit opponents' 3-point attempts, and that at the end of the day puts Miami, I think, in more games and in more winnable situations. But what sticks out to you for Bam?
Yeah, just piggyback on what you said. I think it's pretty clear when you just watch the games that Bam might have. I don't want to say more of a positive impact because Whiteside this year, like I said, the swing rating does favor him. He has been more productive than he has been recently. But regardless, Bam is doing a lot in his brief minutes, and just as far as contesting outside shooters or. Even on a pick and roll or other stretch fives against the Hawks, Whiteside refused to guard Alex Lehner-Dedmon out there while Bam was doing a great job. He's good at moving his feet on the perimeter. And this one stat that bears that out is NBA Mat's total points added metric, which everyone knows box plus minus, which is a per possession measure of efficiency. Basically, it's a very well-known advanced metric. What NBA Mat does is they take that and they turn it into a cumulative measure, which takes into account minutes played. So a guy like Whiteside, that stat absolutely hates Whiteside. He's last in the team, like at a negative 30. On the other hand, yeah. No, I don't want to sound like a Whiteside hater. I've been really pleased with what I've seen from him overall this year, but I mean, the stat says what it says, you know? On the other hand, Bam Adebayo this year is fifth on the Heat in the TPA metric at a plus 3.5, which is pretty impressive because he's not playing that many minutes yet. That's a better mark than Dragic, Wade, and like I said before, Whiteside. Also, per 36 minutes, I don't always love using this stat, but it's important. It's good to use it when you see a guy who's making an impact in brief stints. So it tells you what they would do like if they were playing more starter minutes, basically. Per 36, he's averaging 12.7 points, 12.2 rebounds, and almost 2 blocks per game, which is pretty impressive. I put those numbers into Basketball Reference, and as 21-year-olds, only 11 players overall have done that in their age 21 season. I didn't pull that out for my stats, so I don't have the names in front of me, but I do remember clearly that one of them was Nikola Jokic, who's made his way into being a top five center in the league. And another one is Julius Randle, who's having a huge impact. He had a great year for the Lakers last year and is making a huge impact this year with the Pelicans. So Bam Adebayo, he might have moments where we get frustrated with him for he also like wins though, even though he's like a freak of nature, like physically, he struggles to finish around the rim through contests sometimes. And if he cleaned that up, he'd be even more of a monster. But regardless, overall, he's been a positive and he's been really exciting to watch considering he's just 21 years old still.
I didn't think that I could get more excited about Bam Adebayo, but you basically just mentioned the two centers that David and I have fever dreams over, which is, for me, it's Julius Randle, and for him, it's Nikola Jokic. I mean, that's probably his favorite center. Julius Randle, I'm driving that bandwagon, and I have been for the last 3 years. So for you to just pull out that stat and just say that Bam Adebayo is like with those guys, and he's way better defensively than Julius Randle.
Oh, yeah, no, and then Jokic. Let's be honest, he's a way better.
Oh, yeah, and Jokic.
Right.
Yeah, that's right where you want to be. Loving what we've seen from Bam so far. Also, one just extra stat that I wanted to throw in here. Both Bam and Whiteside averaging 4.5 screen assists per 36 minutes. That was interesting.
Really impressive, for sure.
All right, last guy. We haven't talked about him yet, but it's one last dance. We saved him for last. Dwayne Wade. What sticks out to you about Dwayne Wade's season so far?
Well, I think the obvious one, I'm going to go – the other stats I might have pulled might have been a little specific or a little advanced, but this is, I'm going pretty simple. He's shooting 41.7% from three. That's one of the better marks in the league. His previous career high was actually the year that he led the league in scoring at over 30 a game in 08-09. Or it might have been 07-08, actually. His previous career high was 31.7%. So, I mean, it would have been great to see him knock down over 40% of his threes back then because he would have been even more unstoppable. But regardless, it shows how dedicated he is to improving. Even in his age 37 season, he's still getting better in one facet at least. And it's made up for he might struggle finishing around the basket more than he used to just because he's lost that explosion. But he's made up for it as a three-point shooter. And another thing that I found was, only 11 players in league history have averaged over 14 points per game in their age 37 season. Wade, obviously, as of right now, is one of them. And the list includes superstar Hall of Fame names like Kobe Bryant, Dirk Nowitzki, Tim Duncan, Patrick Ewing, Dominique Wilkins, a bunch of guys like that. So he might not, the advanced stats might not love him. He might be, according to the stats, a negative always on the floor. But I think watching him, first of all, it doesn't matter how negative he gets. It's his last season. He deserves all the playing time he could get, you know. And he has been productive. He is still scoring. And we saw against the Pistons, he had a few huge plays. He had three dunks. Oh, that was another stat, actually. It was his first time dunking the ball three times since, like, May of 2016. So he's still got something left in the tank. He's got something left in the tank. And he's definitely proving that he can still contribute to a good basketball team.
I'm a fan of advanced metrics and these stats. Obviously, that's why we're doing this podcast. But when it comes to Dwayne Wade, all that stuff can just go straight to hell.
Agreed. Because, agreed.
It's Dwayne Wade. And look, yeah, maybe the stats don't love him when he's on the floor. But let's look again to that Pistons game in overtime. When remember, Josh Richardson had 7 straight points, right? He had the blow-by drive. He had that turnaround jumper. And then he made an in-rhythm three-pointer, scored 7 straight points for Miami, and won that game basically for the Heat in overtime. Before all that happened, Dwayne Wade gave Josh Richardson the ball. And look, I don't know if I'm seeing what I want to see, believing what I want to believe. But to me, he put like the Space Jam powers into that ball and gave the ball to Josh Richardson. It was like, this is your moment, young man. Go do your thing. Go bring us home, right? That's what Dwayne Wade's made a career out of, was bringing the Heat home. And he said, no, here's my Space Jam powers. Go for it, boy. And then he did. And then... And I think Richardson, like, being serious, like, Dwayne Wade brought the ball up. Dwayne Wade looked at Josh Richardson, gave him the ball. And I think Richardson understood, okay, I'm going to do this. And I do think that that's a real thing. And you can't measure that in advanced metrics necessarily.
No, absolutely. So, yeah.
And look, part of that also is I think there was some concern going into the season that, hey, Dwayne Wade's back. He's kind of a black hole offensively. It's like this high usage, like, traditional scoring guard kind of guy. Is he going to take the ball away from guys who need the ball, like Josh Richardson, like Justice Winslow? Well, he hasn't really done that. He has very much conceded the team to guys like Richardson and Dragic, who should be handling the ball more than he does. Less than 2 dribbles per touch for Dwayne Wade this season. That's less than half of what this guy is used to doing throughout his career. And so he's not pounding the ball. He's not just, you know, draining the shot clock. He's getting the ball. He's, like you're saying, taking three-pointers. He's not trying to pound the ball and get to the rim as much because he just doesn't have the athleticism as much anymore. He's this complimentary piece. He's just happy to be here, man. It's one last dance. He's just happy to be a part of it. And this isn't the Kobe Bryant farewell tour where he did have that high usage rating in his last year, where he did take 80 shots to get 60 points in his last game or whatever it was. Dwayne Wade's not going to – he's not doing that. So I've liked what we've seen from Dwayne Wade as far as just kind of giving the other guys the stage.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, one of my colleagues at Hoopsite actually knows that I grew up in Miami and I've been a Heat guy my whole life. Early in the year, he mentioned, like, oh, Wade looks kind of like he's lost a step. Like, it's reminding me of the final year of Kobe. And I was like, then you're not watching correctly, because it's just nowhere near the same stratosphere of ball hogging and look at me stuff that Kobe was doing in his last year. And mind you, I respect Kobe, and I think he deserved to have that last season. The Lakers were going to stink anyways that year. But, I mean, this Heat team has playoff aspirations, and I think the way that Spoelstra and Wade are handling the season is perfect. The only time that I can remember him, like, taking over and, like, but hogging the ball and taking a lot of shots was the Hornets game, where the Heat fell down by 25. And if he hadn't done that, it would have been a blowout. And instead, what happened, it should have gone to overtime, but Kemba got the bailout call on the last play. Wade literally shot them back into the game. He had the hilarious three where he airballed it, but he knew it was going to miss. He's got that old man game. He knew it was going to miss, so he put in the floater that ended up tying the game. So I think, and even besides the on-the-court stuff, like you mentioned, his interactions and his dynamic with Josh this year, as Miami tries to make Josh Richardson a number one option on a team, I think it's great to have Wade here so he can mentor him a little bit and see and teach him what it's like to be that guy every single night. We saw in the first game of the season, we were all a little bit disappointed when Richardson had to look for the game winner and he ended up dribbling out of bounds. Mind you, it was against Jonathan Isaac, who's 6'10" and moves his feet like a guard. So it was a tough play. He dribbled out of bounds. We were all a little bit upset. But who was on Josh Richardson's shoulder with his arm around his shoulder as they were walking off the floor? It was Wade telling, I don't know what he said, but I was probably telling him, you know what, don't worry about it. There's going to be another game where you're going to get the same situation. So I think Wade's presence on the team, not only is he productive on the floor, I think it's an excellent thing that he's back for one last season.
Absolutely, and I think you talk to guys in the locker room, they're just thrilled to have him there, and it brings a level of calm and consistency to that group that I think that they really need. And we talked about the consistency that Dragic brings as far as just running the point guard position. Wade's able to do that kind of from that leadership position too. His name is Frank Urbina. You can read him at Hoops Hype. Thanks for joining me, man. That was a lot of fun.
Thanks for having me. I had a blast too.
That'll do it for part 2 of our 15 Every 30 show. Again, first time doing this kind of show. We really hope you enjoyed it. Let us know what you think by sending an email to lockedonheat@gmail.com or on Twitter by using the hashtag AskLOHeat. And of course, make sure to hit subscribe on iTunes or whatever you use to listen to podcasts and leave us a rating or review while you're there. Music is courtesy of Mojave Wild. We'll catch you next time.